So in New Zealand, there's a public holiday every year on the 25th of April called Anzac Day. So if you've been born in New Zealand or you've lived in New Zealand, you kind of know this day. Anzac Day, Anzac means the Australian New Zealand Army Corps, so it's celebrated in Australia as well. And it's celebrated on the 25th of April. And it's a way of every year marking and remembering the countless lives that were lost in particularly two world wars, but in other wars in which Australian and New Zealand troops have participated. And there's one key phrase that sounds down through the years that comes to us every Anzac Day. It's the three words, lest we forget. Lest we forget. They're great words because we say those words and we have that day and we have ceremonies specifically to not forget what happened in history, the great conflicts that happened in history, and the sacrifice of human lives for the good of others that happened in those conflicts. And we say, lest we forget, simply because we know how easy it is to forget. And there's a verse of a poem that was written by a man called Lawrence Binyon in 1914 during the First World War. Every year on Anzac Day, the fourth verse of the poem called For the Fallen is read, and you know it. It says, "They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them." I wanted to think about that at the beginning of the sermon because the sermon is about remembering. And there's so much in this passage right here in the middle of the book of Nehemiah that is about the importance of remembering. There's another phrase that's often quoted about remembering and about history. It's the phrase, "Those who forget their history are destined to repeat it." That's a negative take. If we forget the mistakes of the past, then we'll just make the same mistakes again. Both of these issues are highlighting the importance of remembering. And here in the book of Nehemiah, God is using Ezra and the leaders of Israel to make the people remember things they will easily and have easily forgotten. And the reason why they're made to remember is because remembering is a key to spiritual renewal. They are called to remember who God actually is. That's why I had Carl read right through to chapter 9 and verse 6. Verse 6 is the beginning of the longest prayer in the Bible. But verse 6 and that first part of the prayer establishes the great reality that God's people must never forget. That you are the Lord, you alone, you have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord, you alone. And to remember that, and to have ways of remembering that is a key to spiritual life and growth and renewal. God's people are to remember. Remember who God actually is, and therefore who God actually is to his people. And if they remember who God is and who he is to his people, then they'll remember what he has done for them. And if they remember all of that, then they will understand who they are and who they are meant to be in the world. And they will understand what the future holds. Because the God of the past is the God of the present and is also the God of the future. If we remember the God of the past, then we'll know who he is now and we will know who he always will be, and we will find our safe compass point. I've put it another way here. For us to remember the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is to find the eye of the storm You know what the eye of the storm is? Some people call it the still point. A huge storm goes round in a circle. But right in the centre of that swirling storm is a dead calm. And sometimes our lives seem like that swirling storm. But what we need to find is the dead calm in the centre, and we find the dead calm when we remember who God is and who He is for His people. And so again, this passage, this story in Nehemiah is all about remembering. Remembering to remember, can we put it that way? Remembering to remember. Just a reminder of what's going on here in Nehemiah. This is God's people who had been in the promised land and who had constantly rebelled against God and constantly failed Him and been faithless. And God had come back to them and renewed them and been faithful. But there was a point where He said, enough. And He brought in Babylon, and Babylon destroyed them and carted people away into exile, away from their homeland. And the temple was destroyed and Jerusalem laid waste. But God, even then, remained faithful to His promises, and He brought the people back, and they rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the wall. And Nehemiah was about the rebuilding of the wall. But you see, the whole thing is not simply about bricks and mortar and rebuilding a city. It's about rebuilding a people who are the people of God and who are faithful to the faithful God. And that means they need spiritual revival, a reawakening to Him. And so when the wall is built, we have this great event that we have begun to look at in the past from chapter 8 on, where the people gather and Ezra stands and he reads from the book of the law, and he reads for hours. And the Levites are there, those names that we trip over, that I trip over, and they're all there, and they're helping Ezra's reading of the law by explaining to the people what the word of God means. And so you see here, let me just read a few reminders of that reading. Chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand. So the children were there. Verse 3, and he read from it facing the square from the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And then in verse 13 we read, this is where Carl began, on the second day the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and the Levites came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. So they didn't just read, they didn't just hear, it wasn't just explained to them, they studied. And then in verse 18, day by day, from the first day to the last, he read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days, etc. And then chapter 9, verse 3, and they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day. You think my sermons are long. A quarter of the day, for another quarter of it, they made confession and worshipped the Lord their God. The reason why I note all of that is because over this period of time, there was constant reading and listening and studying of God's word in order to remind people of who God was, what He had done, and therefore who they were. And their response, you see, to being reminded of all of these things is, we read in verse 8, that they grieved. They were sorrowful when they heard. And remember, Nehemiah encourages them in the grace of the Lord and tells them to celebrate. Do not be grieved, he says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then in verses 13 to the end of chapter 8, they discover in God's word that they're meant to have a particular festival or celebration called the Feast of Booths. And so they celebrate that, and during that they keep hearing God's word. And then later on, some days later, in chapter 9, they continue to read, and as they read, they are again reminded of their sin, and they confess, and they worship. And all of that leads into the great summary prayer that is prayed throughout the rest of chapter 9, which we'll look at probably next Sunday. And then in chapter 10, the people respond to God's revelation, his reminders to them by forming a covenant with him to be faithful. So what I want us to think about again as we think about these things for ourselves is the importance of remembering. Remembering to remember. Reading to remember. Hearing God's word to remember. Ezra and the leaders make sure it happens. This is a profound event in the life of God's people because the Gospel Transformation Study Bible has a footnote here which says, especially through Ezra's leadership, God's people were reestablished as a people of the book. This meant more to them now than ever, for the visible greatness of impressive institutions such as the former temple had disappeared. What was great and glorious for them was the greatness of Jerusalem and the greatness of the temple, particularly under King Solomon, but all of that had been lost, and what had been rebuilt was a shadow of what it had been. But what's happening now is that there's a shift in God's people. What is glorious for them, what defines who they are is not the greatness of buildings, it's the presence of God as he reveals himself through his word, the written word. And so they become, as the comment says, a people of the book. It goes on and it says, only the promises of God remained. And these returned exiles played a great part in compiling the remaining Old Testament books. You see what that means for us? We too in Christ are a people of the book. And these people, as they are reminded of God through his word and renewed in their faith, they give us the book, the written revelation of God in all his glory and grace. We too are a people of the book, and we should never be ashamed to be a people of the book. This book reveals God and reminds us of God. It is their glory and our glory, God speaking in his word. And so the word here comes to them as it comes to us as a reminder. Why do we need reminders? Well, as I said at the beginning, because we so easily forget. We so easily forget. See in the prayer in chapter 9 and verse 16, In the prayer, which we'll look at again, Nehemiah is recounting the history of Israel, and he says in verse 16, but they and our fathers acted presumptuously and stiffened their neck and did not obey your commandments. They refused to obey, now here's the key, and were not mindful of the wonders that you performed among them. They were not mindful of the wonders you had performed among them. In other words, they forgot what God had done in the past. They forgot because they were not told. But the outcome of their forgetting is they sin against God and disobey his commandments. We sang that, didn't we? Again, in that hymn. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Prone to forget how great he is. Prone to forget how kind he is. We easily forget, you see, because our minds are like vacuums. You know what a vacuum is? It's kind of empty, but it sucks into it anything around it. Our minds are like vacuums. If they are empty of the remembrances of God from his word, then all manner of other things will be drawn into that vacuum. That's what happened for Israel. When they began to forget God, then what was drawn into the vacuum was the worship of the idols of the nations. And they did awful things in the worship of those idols. So again, if our minds are empty of God's self-revelation, then other things will come in. Idolatries, the worship of the vain things of this world. And temptations will come in, and world events and anxieties and doubts and fears will come into the vacuum. And sometimes as we think about our memories, some of us struggle with the fact that our memory often seems to work better at remembering the dark things. If we have a good memory, it's for the griefs and the losses and the failures and the sins. To remember God and His grace is not the natural or the easy path. To remember God and His grace is like a salmon that swims against the current. The whole current of this world's force is to forget God. And we can easily flow in that. It's easy to float with the current. But to keep remembering God is to swim against the current. Psalm 103, you know that psalm we love? The one that reminds us about, which we read this morning, about how far our sins are cast from us, as far as the east is from the west. In the opening words, it exhorts us with this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Isn't that a gracious word? See, because God, in Psalm 103, God says He knows that we're dust, how frail we are, and so He pleads with us, don't forget what I've done for you, because He knows that we will forget. And there is so much value in remembering. Let me give you a couple of great scriptures that talk about remembering. You know these familiar words in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 to 22. In Lamentations 3, 19 to 22, the writer here is remembering, but he's like what I said earlier, he remembers the dark things. So he says, "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." His memory is focused on sin and grief and failure, and it's weighed down. But then it's like he speaks to himself and calls himself to remember another thing. And he says, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. See, as he struggles with memory going down the wrong tunnel, he calls himself to remember the Lord. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And again, the psalmist does this in a couple of great psalms. Psalm 42 in verses 4 and 5. Says, again, remembering. "These things I remember as I pour out my soul." And he's remembering a loss of joy. He says, "I remember as I pour out my soul how I go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." I remember that. But now he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." And here's the little summary. He says, "My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you." I remember God. In another psalm, Psalm 77, verses 7 to 11, the psalmist struggling with this great question: has the Lord deserted His people? It seems like it. So he says, "Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has His steadfast love forever ceased? Are His promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His compassion?" And here's where he remembers. "Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. You see, out of a dark place where he can't figure out where God is and what he's doing, he says, I will remember. And he remembers how God has functioned in the past and how God has revealed his character and his glory and his grace in the past. And because of that, he has hope in the present and for the future. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember the wonders of old. You see, it is in remembering that we find that we are renewed and reestablished in both who God is and therefore who we are. We too, like the people of Nehemiah's day, like the people throughout Christian history, need to remember who God is, what he has done, and therefore who we are and what our mission in the world is. To bring his glory and grace to others. See, God has instituted a call from the outset to remember. He made chapter 9 in the prayer recounts past history. It's such a long prayer because it's a history lesson. Remembering, remembering, remembering. And the particular thing God's people were called to remember was God's promise to Abraham of, and his great act of faithfulness to that promise by rescuing Abraham's descendants out of Egypt, bringing them across the sea that was parted and leading them through the wilderness to conquer the promised land to be their own homeland. That was their great redemption event that they were called to remember. So much, if you read through the Old Testament, you read again and again how they go back and remember. You see it in the Psalms. When it talks about the greatness of his works and wonders, it's often speaking about that delivery out of Egypt and the miracle through the parted waters and how he fed them and cared for them for 40 years in the wilderness when there was no food but what he rained down from heaven. And he gave them a record of that in Scripture, and he gave them feasts and festivals, celebration events, so that they would remember and pass these things on to their children. He gave them lots of things to remember. We actually, again in that Come Thou Fount, we named one of them, that word Ebenezer. They set up rocks and called it Ebenezer, and it was set up there as a reminder of a great victory God had given his people. Memorials. What are memorials? They are to remind us so they would not forget. But you know, if you know anything of the history of God's people, they forgot over and over again. Again, after they'd conquered the land and established themselves, and Joshua dies, who had led them in doing that. We read in the book of Judges, chapter 2 and verse 10, and all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, now hear these words, or the work that he had done for Israel. They forgot, and why did they forget? Because somebody didn't tell them. And the chapter goes on to say they did all manner of evil in the eyes of the Lord because they did not remember. So God gave them ways of remembering. That's why here, I won't go into detail, but this thing called the Feast of Booths and at the end of chapter 8, as they read the Bible, they discovered that they were supposed to celebrate this festival, and so they celebrated it. And the Feast of Booths was, you'd probably call it the Feast of Tents. You know, they built makeshift shelters out of branches and lived in them because that was a reminder of that period of history between coming out of Egypt and entering the promised land where they lived in the wilderness. They lived a makeshift life. But in that makeshift life, God was with them and he looked after them and he never failed them and he led them through. And so in that festival, they're remembering God and what he had done. See, we too have acts of remembrance. The word reminds us, but God gives us acts of remembrance. There are two key acts in the life of Christ's people. It's the Lord's Supper and baptism. These are actions where we remember what God has done and our hearts are encouraged and renewed as we celebrate those great events. Even though Scripture doesn't prescribe the celebration of Christmas and Easter, I think it's good that we celebrate those events and in action remember so that we won't forget, so that we won't drift away. God's people were given responsibilities for remembrance in the life of Israel. Means of remembrance were not for a moment. So understand this. There's a generational reality. The means of remembrance were not for a moment, but were designed to pass from one generation to the next, lest they forget the Lord. We too, you see, as a church and as families, have a shared responsibility to continue to remember the Lord for the sake of each generation. In Israel, a generation forgot because the generation before them did not remember to pass it on. So here you see in Deuteronomy, let me just remind you of this important reality. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 10, and this is about the Feast of the Booths, by the way. Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people. This is exactly what Ezra and Nehemiah did. Assemble the people, women and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God and be careful to do all the words of this law. Now hear verse 13. And that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land. That the children may hear. That the children would remember. That the children would not forget. And that they in their turn would pass it on. So Deuteronomy 6. A well-known passage, but again, it's Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words I command you today shall be on your heart. Now, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Not just formal teaching, but it becomes a part of life. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. It's just the common conversation is to remember the Lord. Later on in verse 12 it says, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And verse 20, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? See, there's an assumption that a child will ask, and the assumption is based on the fact that the child will be hearing and seeing. And so they will ask, what does this mean? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. So as Christian families, we go to worship. We open the Bible at home. We talk about the Lord. We seek to live the Lord. And the child asks, what does this mean? And we don't first point to the Exodus. We point to Christ. our great redemption act. And we say, the Lord remembered us and rescued us with a mighty hand. Why is it so important, these responsibilities of remembrance? Because if we don't set the agenda, someone else will set the agenda. Here's a little phrase for you to remember. The devil is a preacher too. The devil is a preacher too. And he has many more forms of media at his disposal. If we and our children are constantly exposed to all the other voices with no pushback from his word, then we will forget and turn. That's the role of a preacher too. The preacher is there to remind, to open and explain God's self-revelation, so week by week we come to be reminded and renewed. Years ago, Janet and I went to a conference in the United States, and we went to church on Sunday morning here at Covenant, and then we got on a plane, and because of the time thing, we landed in America on Sunday, and we went to church again, so we felt very holy. And we were really jet-lagged, and we went to this particular church, and the preacher preached for 50 minutes, which is a bit of a challenge when you're jet-lagged, but this preacher said, I read a quote from him, "People often ask me, how can you have a worship service when you preach such a long time? When do the people have time to worship?" And he says, "Well, I'm so committed to expository preaching because God cannot be worshipped apart from an understanding of who he is as he is revealed in Scripture. I'm committed to the systematic teaching of the Word of God." Now, he says, "I could give clever sermons with motions and stories, and people could say, that guy's such a great preacher, but," he said, "they wouldn't be worshipping God. It's a far greater challenge for me to teach the Word of God and let it command men to respond to God as he is revealed in his self-revelation." That's the role of a preacher, to remind myself and you of who God is and what he is like, so that we remember the Lord and forget not all his benefits by his word. That's the call for us this morning. I had more to say, but I'm not going to preach a 50-minute sermon. I'll come back to the other stuff next week. Let me just say in closing that for us, as remembrance is about renewal, one of the greatest things, let me close with this thought, one of the greatest things that we remember is that God remembers. Think about this. One of the greatest things that we remember is that God remembers too. Now, there's a glory in that, because when we say that God remembers, we are not saying that God forgets and then he remembers. When we say that God remembers, it is a statement that says God never forgets. And he has given his own son to redeem you and I from our sins, and he will not forget that reality. And he will not forget you. He never forgets his promises, which means he never forgets you. So when we remember that we are dust, we also remember that he came in the person of his son to be a man, to die for us, to redeem us from all our forgettings and wanderings. In Jesus Christ, God's faithfulness is established. In Christ, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, and Christ reminds us that God never forgets us. And in him is our life and our hope and our joy and our future. Therefore, we are renewed. So do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor and remember to remember him in the word of gospel that he has given. Let's pray. Lord, again, you have reminded us of many things. You've reminded us of your greatness and your goodness. You've reminded us of your grace in Christ. And we do confess how easy it is to forget, how easy it is to focus on the things of this world, how easy it is to focus on our own failings. Draw us again to remember that you never forget and that you have loved us with an everlasting love. But in that great reality, we would find our own joy and our own renewal and our own growth in Christ. Hear our cry in his great name. Amen.